Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this podcast episode, we're going to look at the world of distressed properties. That's mortgagee in possession and foreclosure properties. So first up, you may have noticed that there is, in the headlines at least and in the news and the stats, there's a rise in mortgage stress. Not surprising really with all the interest rate rises. People have been hanging on, and now, especially in the world of investors, they are letting go and offloading stock. So what happens in a mortgagee situation, and how is there an opportunity for you to help people in distress? Let's look at what a mortgagee situation is. So it is usually starts as a slippery slope. I can say this because I've been there myself when we had the global financial crisis. So in 2008, I had a lot of properties, a lot of debt, and it started out that interest rates had been rising and I was managing to just tread water. It meant I was robbing Peter to pay Paul. We had tenants in some properties. I was borrowing more money, using credit cards, all that sort of stuff, getting tenants' rent in early so that I could pay that towards another mortgage on a different property. It all got really, really messy. And then it got to the point that I started missing mortgage repayments. Now, statistics show that Australians won't usually do that until they can't pay any other way. So we'll eat baked beans on toast, we'll get second jobs, we'll do everything that we can, but there comes a point where we start missing payments. When we talk about what happens in mortgage stress, is it's a long process. Now, most of us think, oh, well, if you're in stress, why don't you sell? Great question. Why didn't I sell at the time? Answer is that I tried. I actually went to agents. I tried to list properties on the market myself. What happened was that agents would say, well, you've got to finish it, or you've got to renovate it. And some of them, we were halfway through renovations or developments and just didn't have the money to keep on going. And I did call agents round. I was too proud, or I didn't want them to be vultures in my mind. So I didn't want to say, actually, we're going broke. So I said things like, oh, we just thought we'd let someone finish the job themselves. It could be a blank canvas. And the agents were kind of like, well, no, it's better if you put the kitchen in yourself and call us when it's finished and we'd be happy to sell it. So didn't really go anywhere. And that's probably 50% of people in distress. For whatever reason, they can't sell. Now, having been doing this for like 12 odd years, there are lots of reasons. Sometimes they're hoarders, so the property doesn't present well and they don't have the money to fix it up for sale. In other situations, they've just got nowhere to go. So they don't have a rental history. They don't have a bond to get together. So they tend to squat. And because the legal system happens quite slowly, there's a false sense of security. So everything just moves along at a glacial pace. And you tend to think, oh, well, nothing will happen. So 50% of people may get proactive, get on the front foot, do something. And that's a great place to be because the whole legal exercise is going to eat away or erode any equity in the property. It's a bit like concrete. The longer it takes, the harder it gets. So you don't want to get it, if you're in distress, into that position where it just becomes too hard to do anything. So forewarned is forearmed, and far better to get on the front foot and be preemptive. The sooner you can sell, the sooner you can pay the bank back, the better it is for everyone. Because what happens is when you miss payments, then mortgage repayments escalate. So the terms of a mortgage will say, this is the normal rate if you pay on time. If you don't pay on time, then penalty rate or default rates set in. So if you can't pay at 6 or 7%, you got Buckley's at 12% plus. And then there's legal costs on top of that. Everything gets added on to the bill when the property's sold. So far better to sell it when the losses are low and way before it escalates. Now, what happens then is that if a seller can't get to a position to sell, and this is great, if you can help someone in this position with a quick, easy sale, sometimes off market, many of our students will take the property as is. In other words, no need to finish the job or clear it out, take the clothes on your back, take whatever you want, leave all the rubbish, we'll take it as is. Normally, the settlement process takes quite a while. There's search. Then you need vacant possession so the buyer can say, no, come and clean up under the house and the attic and everything else. So it can be faster to buy off market, and it can also be more efficient for a seller because remember, if they're circling the drain, there's a whole lot of unknowns, aren't they, going through the market. So for example, the agent will say, well, I don't know how much it'll sell for. Here's a kind of a range and I don't know when it'll sell, but you know, you should be within the next 3 or 4 months. And then even when you find a buyer, there's like a 6 week settlement period before you get your money. And in states other than New South Wales, sometimes it'll be subject to them getting finance and or selling their own home or whatever. So a whole lot of uncertainties there. Whereas if you can move quickly at a time when costs are escalating, mortgage defaults and penalties may be kicking in, if you're able to make a firm, unconditional offer and move fast, it saves them all the uncertainty of not knowing how much or when. And it also means that they don't have to pay agent's commission or marketing costs or getting a property ready for sale, all the stuff that they're just not in the headspace to do. So time is of the essence and speed is key here, and your flexibility. Sometimes you may be even able to release some of your deposit to them for a rental bond or somewhere to move to, especially if you want them out quickly while you do a renovation or whatever it is you're going to do to finish the property. In fact, when I was a motivated seller, I would have loved it if someone partnered with me because I knew I would have got more for the house had my renovation been finished and it been sold properly and styled. So I would have been willing to bring the home and the property to the table and partnered with someone else who could then pay for a renovation and an uplift and give me the proceeds of sale and keep any profit themselves. So over and above a certain amount, or for us to profit share. There was a lot that could have been done. I just reached a stalemate. Had I had someone who could get on the front foot with me, who could bankroll the thing or at least partner with me to exit the situation, happy days. But my loss is the gain of others because now at least we've raised the awareness of distress as a community with property lovers, and lots of our students are out there helping other people in distress. So what happens? It's important to know the process. What will usually happen is there will be missed payments, and that can go on for a 3 month period. The bank's going to say, pay up, you now owe us this and that. There'll be letters, there'll be phone calls, debt collection type stuff. But after 90 days, bank accounting will mean that the property is then put into a non-performing loan basket. In other words, the lender is going to declare it, if you like, or label it as delinquent debt. And then the legal process will start in earnest. So after those 90 days, there'll be a default notice or a statutory demand issued. That's kind of a formal document. It hasn't been lodged in court, but it's the last line of defense. So what it says from the bank is, we're going to go legal now. And by law, they have to set out how much is owed, how you pay it, exactly how much needs to be paid by what date, so that it takes away all excuses for the debtor. In other words, the bank says we gave them enough rope. So it is the precursor. They have to do that before they start legal proceedings. So they give one of those notices. It sets everything out with precision, so there's no excuses for the debtor. And after 28 days from when that notice has been served, court proceedings can start. So the lender will file in court. They'll usually seek two things. The first thing that they'll ask for is the loan to be repaid. So a judgment in the sum of whatever the debt is, plus interest, plus legal costs and penalties and charges. So it'll be a global figure. Judgment in the sum of $753,025. And it will then ask for ongoing costs on top of that and interest on top of that. So it'll be a judgment for 700 odd thousand plus interest plus costs. And that continues to tick over. So then the second order that they'll ask for is an order for possession. So that means that the court makes an order that the bank can take charge or possession of the property. So that will then, the judgment will be entered. Sometimes they'll register that on the title to the property, but usually not. What they're hoping for, what they would love, is for the distressed seller to refinance or sell themselves. They actually don't want to go through this process. It's a headache for them. It's just that there's no other way. So if the seller can refinance, and they've got a better chance of doing that if there's no judgment registered on the title, bank already have a mortgage registered on the title, then it may be easier. So they're hoping that the seller or the debtor will be proactive. If they're not, then the next step, once they have a judgment, is they take that to the sheriff's office. So the sheriff is a bit like the police, but the sheriff is an officer of the court. So they carry out court orders or judgments. So the court's ordered repossession. So the sheriff goes out to the property and gives the homeowner a repossession notice. And that will usually give them 2 to 4 weeks or so, and it'll say, within 4 weeks on this date at this time, we're going to turn up with a locksmith and the bank, and we are going to boot you out and change the lock. So be out by this date, take anything you want with you. Otherwise, on this date, it becomes formally in the possession or control of the bank. So if the owner or debtor doesn't move out within that period, then the sheriff still comes with a locksmith, usually the bank, sometimes the police, and they will secure the property. They'll escort the owner off the premises. And then there's notices pinned in all the windows from the inside saying this is now the bank's property. And what the bank or the lender will do then is they'll consult with, usually there's two bodies in Australia, two companies that handle and advise banks in relation to repossession. So they'll say, look, we've spoken to Ray White. We recommend you go with Ray White. They suggest that it gets painted and cleaned. We can organise these handymen to do it. We've got removalists. They'll usually store the people's property for 3 months or so before it becomes unclaimed goods. But otherwise, they will then get ready for sale. So that is the most expensive and time-consuming exercise. Far better way is if you can arrest it a lot earlier. And that's where a lot of our community help distressed property owners whilst also helping themselves. As a consequence, not that that's a motivation, but it helps the lenders as well, because this is an exercise in futility in most cases. So that's the situation. That's the mechanics of it. As it plays out, it can be anywhere from 6 months to over 12 months to actually come through. And anything that you can do, preferably the sooner the better, to get the property sold and mitigate all of that loss and waste, then far better for everyone. If you're wanting to know more about distressed property, the system, and how you're able to help people but also profit yourself and find an opportunity or an edge in this market potentially with no money down and none of your own finance, and even not paying stamp duty or capital gains tax on these sorts of deals, then you can click on the link in the comments or the description section and learn more about transacting distressed properties. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and follow us so that you never ever miss an episode. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.